Hello and welcome to the Check-In Podcast. This is where we check in together for community, connection, and conversation over the airwaves. We have officially hit the year mark of the coronavirus outbreak. Since then, mask mandates, quarantines, and everything else that COVID has brought us have become part of our daily lives. This show began as a response to the pandemic, for people to check in and stay connected with their communities from home. Now, for maybe the first time on the check-in, we can say, here, right now, things just might be looking up. We are still very cautious, and we should be, but we are also cautiously optimistic. The numbers of people vaccinated are beginning to outpace the numbers of coronavirus infections. Boone County has issued a new order, just about a year after its first stay-at-home order, saying that businesses can resume normal operating hours. And last week, President Biden has announced that all adult Americans should have access to a COVID-19 vaccine by the end of May. Today, we have a special all-caller show. No guests, no experts, just you. How has your year been? What is the first thing you're going to do when this is all over? When did you realize we were in this for the long haul? If anything we say resonates with you, leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329 or tweet us at checkin_KBIA to join the conversation. Now to Janet.
We have someone in the check-in with us who is great to have with us today because she was our first fantastic guest on the check-in, Dr. Laura Schopp, who's a professor in MU Health Professions, and helped us get through, sort out what was going on about a year ago. By the way, our first check-in program was a year ago in March, not a year ago today, but just a couple of weeks later in March. And so the check-in celebrates the year, or commemorates the year, I guess I should say, with the pandemic. We started just before Boone County stay-at-home orders. And Dr. Laura Schopp was with us to say, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what you should be thinking about. Here's how you cope with these stay-at-home orders. Here's how you isolate. Isolation was a new word. It was one of the first times I'd used it on the radio, isolation. And we were talking to Dr. Schopp about how to handle isolation. And Dr. Schopp has called us today to check in with us today. Dr. Schopp, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
So, Dr. Schopp, one thing I want to ask, with the return to normal life on the horizon, we still have a lot to do. We still need to be very vigilant. We're kind of in a race. It's the vaccines against the variants, is the way I like to see it. So we do need to make sure we keep winning that race. But we are booking appointments for vaccines. Our friends are getting vaccines. Our parents are fully vaccinated, some of them, and grandparents. But when you look ahead, it's almost like it forces you to look back and to kind of take a breath and really kind of take in what we've lost. Does it make sense to you, Dr. Schopp, that people might feel a little bittersweet right now?
Absolutely. And I think you said it so well. I think that this is a time where we can take stock. We can look back and ask ourselves what went well, what did not go well. Are we pleased with the ways our institution served us? And if we're not, then what can we do about that going forward?
Yeah.
We've benefited from things like maybe a little slower pace. We're all cooking at home more. Maybe we're doing our hobbies, and we found some alternatives to the way that we usually move around in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there's a lot of unprocessed grief, and there's a need for closing the loop on a few things, such as, if you lost someone during the pandemic, as I did, and there wasn't an opportunity for a funeral, then
yes,
how do we memorialize people and mark that loss?
Right.
There have been unattended deaths and tremendous economic fallout. We've had some changes in our level of security and trust in our institutions, especially with respect to equity issues and things like that.
Yes, and Dr.
Schopp,
there's
been a number of people who have perhaps been hit harder, and we know that young people and people with pre-existing conditions, people who identify with marginalized or minority groups, essential workers and certainly parents who have been trying to soldier through this pandemic.
Yes.
Everyone has done their part. And so I think it is time for a little retrospection, a little reflection on what did we do so well?
Yeah, Dr. Schott.
A year ago, we were kind of bewildered. I remember being on your first check-in show, and we were all just orienting to this new thing happening, and we were seeking information and learning so much. And then we moved into a coping phase where we had to do a lot of support for ourselves and each other, a lot of adapting to new ways of doing things.
And Dr. Schott,
it was just grinding that persistence phase with routine and grit.
Yes.
And now we're kind of pivoting to a debrief time where we're looking for meaning, we're looking to improve things that didn't go well, and we're looking to close the circle, I think, on some of those things left dangling or left unfinished for us. So, yeah, I think it does let us look back at the same time that we're looking forward.
I think that's amazing, Dr. Schott. And you've listed an incredible list, which really is kind of a summary of the year we've had, wherever you are, whether you've been suffering this kind of loss and experiencing this. And we've all experienced loss at some level. We want to unpack a lot of this. But Dr. Schott, hold with us, if you will. People are calling in and want to share some of their experiences. Let's go to David calling from Columbia. David, thanks so much for calling into the check-in. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Janet. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for calling. So what are your thoughts right now, David, as you look back and look ahead? What are you thinking? What did you want to share with us today?
Well, what I'm thinking is people are talking about getting past this. And I think the problem is that people haven't perceived that this is signs of things to come. The global warming, the catastrophic climate change has predicts more pestilence, more viruses as we've changed the ecological footprint of our world, and that this is a time for us to be adapting and assimilating new practices of living, because this is not the only pandemic we're going to see probably in our lifetime. We're already seeing evolutions of new strains. What if people go, oh, we've got a vaccine, we're past this, we're going to go back to 2019 and 2018 and live life differently, they're going to be in trouble.
David, we hear you. Thank you so much for that call. And those of you who are calling, we see you. We will get to your call right after this break. We are talking about looking back on the pandemic, a year after the pandemic, a year into the pandemic, and also looking ahead. What's on your mind? Let us know, 573-882-4991. We will take your calls. We see you right after this break.
Listen to The Check-In every Thursday at noon. Each week, join host Janet Saidi for live conversations on community, connection, and the issues we all face in our day-to-day lives. Each week, we'll have a new guest and topic of choice, and we want to hear from you. You can call in live to be a part of the conversation or text CHECK-IN to 88474. That's CHECK-IN with a dash to 88474. Now, back to Janet.
You are in The Check-In, and we're checking today on a year of pandemic. It all happened, according to NPR. The world changed this time last year on March 11th, 2020. Where were you? What were you doing back then? Let us know. We are looking back on a year of pandemic. We're looking ahead. And we have in The Check-In with us, Jenny is calling from just outside Jeff City. Jenny, thanks so much for calling into The Check-In. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. So, feeling a little bit relieved.
say that again. You're feeling what?
A little bit relieved about the pandemic. It looks like maybe we can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes. So you feel relieved. It sounds like, Jenny, you feel very cautiously optimistic Did you also tell our producer that you maybe had a relationship story for us that happened sort of during this pandemic?
Well, yeah, about a year ago, I was looking forward to my romantic interest, who was about to head back to this area from where he had been for work. And I was looking forward to seeing him again. And with COVID happening and he had the care of elderly relatives, we weren't able to see each other for a year. I'm in healthcare, and there was just no way to keep his relatives safe if he would, you know, see me. So we maintained contact, but that's a year that you didn't get to see someone that you really cared about.
Right.
And, you know, my children didn't get to take part in some of their sports activities that they'd really been looking forward to. Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel thrilled about the changes when you also are realizing how much we lost. And
yes.
Interestingly, both my romantic partner, for lack of another, both his relatives and mine got vaccinated this week.
Oh, great.
So it's like, well, maybe something will change. You know, we have hope now that things will be a little bit different. But like many other callers have said, we've lost a lot, and it's not going to be exactly the same.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I hear you. You've been through a lot, and you're also a mom, and data and studies show that moms have had a particularly difficult time right now. So you've been sort of putting this romantic relationship on hold a little bit, and also just being a mom right now. But you're feeling, how would you say you're feeling going forward? Would you say cautiously optimistic, mixed feelings, or do you say you're feeling overwhelmingly positive right now?
Mixed feelings. I think it might not always be. I think that pandemic-wise, I mean, obviously I'm in the healthcare profession, so I have spent a lot of time studying this situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure that things are going to go back to exactly the same. I don't think our generation will ever think of things the same way we did before.
Okay. Yes. Well, Jenny, good luck to you. Thanks for all you've been doing as a healthcare worker. And thanks for calling the check-in. Please stay in touch.
Thank you.
All right. You are listening to the check-in on KBIA. And we have a caller with us who many of you will recognize, David Wilson, who is co-founder and director of the True False Film Festival, which I feel like has been a turning point in our area. One of the last things that you maybe did normally in March 2020 just might be around this time last year, True False. And we'd love to hear from David about that, and also looking ahead to this year's festival, because we are cautiously and optimistically looking ahead. David Wilson, welcome to the check-in. Thanks for calling us today.
Hey, Janet. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so David, let me ask, first of all, maybe we should ask what you're looking ahead to. What's on the horizon for the festival this year?
Yeah, it has been a big year for us, as for everybody. But we have a retooled, completely unique to us and everybody, outdoor film fest coming up in early May, May 5th through 9th. And we are working very, very hard to assemble the films and assemble the art and assemble the music and put on a safe event for our Mid-Missouri community.
That's awesome. Well, so we're looking ahead to that, and I think you've just given us something to kind of look forward to cautiously. But David, let's also get your view of the past year. How have things been for you personally and for the True False staff? And do you look back on last year's True False Festival as sort of a big moment where it was kind of a turning point? You were looking ahead very, maybe with a lot of concern to what the world was bringing, but also just kind of enjoying the festival?
Yeah, it was massive. In the weeks leading up to last year's fest, we were working with the health department. We were tracking cases. Mm-hmm. We were taking it very seriously, but also, you know, we've known there's been other things that could have been pandemics that weren't and stuff like that. So we were, I guess, all sort of the time probably cautiously optimistic. While, yes. You know, I think I was a person who was doing a lot of like, you know, I guess we just elbow bump now. Oh, maybe we hug, you know, as I saw friends and stuff like that, people coming into town. And I can't remember exactly which day of the fest it was, but there was a screening that basically sort of everybody walked out of. And in the midst of the screening, the alert had gone out sort of to all the industry people that South by Southwest Fest had just canceled.
Yes.
And they were the following week. And so it just sort of hit everybody very seriously in that moment that things were about to change for a long time.
That's interesting you mentioned that, David. I remember exactly where I was standing when I heard that mm-hmm. South by Southwest had canceled, because that seemed really big. And that was seemed like a really early indicator that things were not going to just go on as normal. And I still went to True False and enjoyed it, but I was very cautious after that. And probably a lot of our listeners have that to relate to. Do you remember last year, listeners? Let us know. You can give us a call and join our discussion here with David Wilson and on the check-in about looking back on this year of pandemic that has been so momentous, but also maybe cautiously looking forward. Let us know. David, tell us a little bit about a bit more about what you're looking forward to when it comes to True False Outside. What are the logistical challenges your team is having to deal with True False Outside? And what do you think might actually, is there anything that might be a silver lining that you think will be better, other than the fact that I think a lot of people will just be ready to be together and celebrating at this time? It's pretty good timing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will say that we've always wanted to do more outdoor events, and the weather in early March just doesn't cooperate, and we can't make plans that way. So getting to really play with the outdoors as a venue and as something to really engage with in the kind of like creative spirit of True False is very exciting for us. You know, we were paralyzed for a number of months. We just thought, how do we possibly plan? We don't know what's going to happen. You know, we were in the midst of uncertainty. And then we sort of came up with a plan that was pretend the fest is tomorrow. You know, what could we do today? Are there any ways we could do something that would feel safe today? And we started to kind of gradually move down that road. You know, Stevens Lake Park is a gem of a park, and we are really lucky to have it. And so there's space in that park for 4 outdoor venues. We're going to be painting individual pods on the ground. People can, you know, go into the venue, find their pod, feel safe, like, you know, in their pod, but watch movies with other people around. And I mean, I believe deeply that movie going wants to be a communal experience. And just the chance, even distanced, even with our masks on, the chance to watch movies together is something I'm really looking forward to.
You're reminding me, David, whenever I've sort of described True False to people that are from out of town, I've said it's like people wanted to create a community event, and film just happens to be the organizing principle around this community event. Is that accurate, do you think?
That's so accurate, Janet. Obviously, like I love film and I make film as well, but the heart of True False really is the community. And the film just becomes a vehicle with which we can all kind of gather around.
Well, and it sounds like May might just be our big month. We're going to be very cautious and cautiously optimistic with this. But President Biden, I don't know how you felt about this, David, but he said, you know, he mentioned May as the time where all American adults should have access to a vaccine, whether or not they choose to be vaccinated. Will say a lot about how we are able to handle this. But May could be a time when people are just really ready to get out and celebrate some sense of community, even if we're still distancing and masked and celebrating community. So it's very interesting to look forward. David, I know you only have a minute or two, but I just want to ask you, how have things been for you personally the past year? Any highlights that you personally are looking back on, or lowlights, or things that you're looking forward to looking ahead?
I'll say I've read some really wise things about the kind of impetus to say, you know, for me, it's been fine, or, you know, like all things considered or whatever. And I think that's true. I feel incredibly lucky in a lot of ways, where I live, the community I have around me, the family I have around me, the job I have. I mean, there's 100 ways in which I feel lucky. And also, I think it's okay for each of us to sit with our grief, right? Sit with people we've lost, sit with things we've lost and opportunities we've lost. You know, in the most minor love note, you know, I'm a traveler. I mean, for this job, I'm often on the road, you know, a dozen trips a year, maybe. I haven't left Colombia except for a you know, an in-state camping trip in 12 months. so, you know, it feels really different for all of us. And yeah. I think kind of it's okay to feel lucky and also to sit with what we've lost.
Okay, that's great, David. It's nice to catch up with you, and it's nice to hear that. You're reminding us. I think a lot of us learned how to stay home. We just learned how to stay home mm-hmm. during this year. If we're lucky, mm-hmm. that's a highlight for our year. David, good luck with True False. We'll stay in touch, and please stay well.
Thank you so much, Janet.
Thanks, David. Bye-bye. Listeners, you are really the guest today. I know we've got some amazing people calling us in, but it's you we want to hear from, 573-882-4991. 882-4991. Let us know what you are looking back on, what you are looking ahead to. Let's ask you right now, what are you most looking forward to? We're looking ahead cautiously. Say you're vaccinated. Say a lot of people are vaccinated. Say it's May. It's not too far away. What are you most excited to do? Are you a grandparent who wants to reconnect with those grandkids? Do you want to get on a plane right away? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Birthday parties? What are you looking forward to? Just sitting in the coffee house, your favorite coffee house? Are you looking forward to True False? Let us know what you're looking forward to. Let us know what concerts or festivals also that you're interested in. 573-882-4991. We've got True False in May. We've also got Roots and Blues Festival coming up in September. And we have a caller with us. Speaking of Roots and Blues, we have Tracy Lane with us, who is a co-director of the Roots and Blues Festival. Tracy, thanks so much for calling into the check-in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Janet.
So, Tracy, why don't you first let us know, looking ahead, you with Trio Presents, Shay Jasper and Jamie Varvero are your co-directors of Roots and Blues Festival. That is somewhat new. But that happened just as the pandemic happened. So I know that's been a massive disruption for you and for Roots and Blues. But you are looking ahead to September. So why don't you tell us what you're looking back on and what you're looking ahead to as a co-director of Roots and Blues?
Yeah, thanks, Janet. Yes, actually, my my partners and I created Trio Presents and took over the operations of Roots and Blues Festival about 6 months before the pandemic hit. So 2020 was our first year to fully operate under this new new ownership and new management. And we had spent the winter of 2019/2020. We wanted to get out in front of our audience really early for the first time as our first year as owners to announce our lineup. And our plan had been to announce that lineup on March 19th. And so I remember, you know, as all of us do here in Columbia, the beloved True False Film Fest, that week I had so many friends coming in town and texting and saying, let's get together. And I just, in my gut, I felt I was afraid. You know, I was a little, I'm a little more timid. I'm a little more of a germaphobe maybe than most folks. And I decided not to do it. I decided to stay home and refrain from seeing people I hadn't seen in a really long time. Yeah. And of course, at that time, I didn't think it would be an even longer time before I would see a lot of folks. But I think it will be a year ago tomorrow, actually. I got the notice from my daughter's college that her dorm was closing and that, you know, I needed to go and we were to take everything, remove absolutely all personal things out of the dorms because they might not return for the rest of the semester. Yes. And that was so alarming to me.
Tracy, we are going to have to go to a break, but I hear you and I'm right with you. I was doing all of that. True, false, the kids at college, just thinking about all this last year. Can you hang on with us, Tracy? We're going to go to a quick break.
Sure.
And we're going to come back. Let me say to listeners, you can also join us. We're talking to Tracy Lane. We're talking about Roots and Blues, True, False. We're looking ahead cautiously to festivals. We're looking back what was going on this time last year. You can join us, 573-882-4991. We will be back with this conversation, looking ahead, coming out of this pandemic, here on The Check-In right after this.
Listen to The Check-In every Thursday at noon. Each week, join host Janet Saidi for live conversations on community, connection, and the issues we all face in our day-to-day lives. Each week, we'll have a new guest and topic of choice, and we want to hear from you. You can call in live to be a part of the conversation or text CHECKIN to 88474. That's CHECKIN with a dash to 88474. Now, back to Janet.
Hi, this is The Check-In. I'm Janet Saidi. We're talking with you. You're our guest. Give us a call because we want to hear how you are feeling right now as we very cautiously and optimistically begin to look ahead. And Tracy Lane, co-director of Roots and Blues Festival. Tracy, let me know. I think you have an interesting answer to the question I'm asking some of our listeners. What was the last concert you went to?
Actually, it just marked a year 2 weeks ago. It was Tanya Tucker at the Blue Note on February 24th.
Nice.
And we were so excited. Actually, my business partners and I went together. Shay and Jamie and I were all there together. And it was sort of this really celebratory season that we were about to go into. We were just a couple of weeks away from announcing our lineup. And it was a very celebratory evening. We were so excited to celebrate live music in our community and to announce our lineup, which was supposed to, that event was also supposed to be at the Blue Note on March 19th. Mm-hmm. And then on March, that Monday, that was a Thursday. So then that Monday we were in the office and sort of tweaking final plans for this event, which was going to be a free community event that we were going to celebrate with local musicians and announce our lineup. And we had created a video and of course I was going to DJ and it was going to be this really fun celebration. And then that Monday in the office, we got a call from one of our headliners agents saying, you can't announce this person this week because we don't think they're going to be able to tour this year. And we were just stunned. You know, we were like, it's March and our event is in October. Like,
yeah,
what? You know, and then as you and David were talking about just a few minutes ago, you know, we had just heard the week before about the cancellation of South by Southwest, which was stunning, but also that was only a week away. So when we got this call saying, oh, this artist may not tour at all in 2020, like our hearts just dropped. And by the end of that day, that Monday in the office, we had gotten a call from like four different agents saying, you can't announce this artist at your event next week.
Wow.
And so that day at the office went from this, it's just like our entire mindset changed to that day. Like this is, we're in this for the long haul.
Yes.
This is going to be a long, long situation that things are going to be shut down.
Well, Tracy, that must have been devastating as sort of new for you and your partners with Trio Presents, like new entrepreneurs. And I have to say, Tracy, we've got a lineup of calls here that we need to get to. But I just want to say we want to hear back from you and we want to continue the conversation as you go forward and also talking about Roots and Blues. But what dates do we look out for Roots and Blues right now? Would you leave us with a little bit of info about is it September 26th through 28th, Roots and Blues 2021?
24th through the 26th. So it's the last weekend in September.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're very cautiously optimistic. We've had great conversations with the local health department. I do want to give a shout out to Stephanie Browning and her staff. They've been so wonderful throughout for protecting our entire community and helping us to prepare for a safe event. But I would love to come back another day and talk with you. So thank you so much.
That sounds good, Tracy. Thank you so much. Please take care and stay in touch with us. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And we have Sarah calling in from Columbia. Sarah, thanks so much for calling the check-in. I think we know you, and I think we maybe talked to you when you were about to give birth during the pandemic.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Yes. So probably since the last time I talked to you.
Yes. So, yes. So what's your thought?
Girl. Yeah. You know, I was just kind of, it's that kind of anniversary to think back a year ago. I think it was this kind of Thursday was the 12th. So the day after March 11th, that it's kind of my last doctor's appointment where my husband could join me.
Yes.
We were kind of thinking, well, can we still go on our baby moon in 2 weeks? Maybe. And then the next day, like, no, we are canceling. There's no way I'm getting on a plane. Like, kind of really reshifting kind of all the things we were planning on doing before the baby arrived. But, you know, 2020, you know, I was planning for it to be kind of a altering year, obviously planning for parenthood and my whole life changing. So I think definitely with everything happening a year ago, it really bumped up some of that, you know, time I'd be spending at home and
yes,
how I would be preparing. Yeah, but I'm, you know, you kind of go through the spectrum of emotions, especially like a year ago, really, it's really that disappointment for everything that you had planned to do, and special events you might have planned to have and the family and friends you'd have around. But like you just said, we all kind of found a way to adapt to that and still make things special and still connect. And I don't know, for me, especially after the, my daughter was born in July, you know, one of the things my local friend group has done is, you know, a Zoom get together every Friday kind of afternoon, evening. So in a way I've seen friends even more than I might've seen them with a new infant. You know, I'm able to connect more, you know, I wouldn't be going out, you know, every week with a, you know, month old child probably. So in a way I've been able to stay connected a little bit more than maybe I would have in new parenthood. And, you know, I think one of the things I'm really looking forward to is as, you know, everyone hopefully starts getting vaccinated and more activities open up, you know, I can now take my, you know, my daughter is almost 8 months old now. We can actually go out and enjoy a little bit more of the community and friends in person.
Yes.
You know,
and your, you know, your darling little girl, who I can't believe it's 8 months, but of course that makes sense, is seeing people. Do you ever think about this, Sarah? She's seeing people with masks on. What is it going to be like when she, maybe masks will be with us probably for quite a long time, but at some point she might go out and see people without masks. And I wonder if that will look strange to her. Like, wow, that person has like a really big face.
I wonder about that. It's, yeah, I mean, and my mom was making a similar comment, like, it must be weird with all the masks. I'm like, well, she doesn't know any different, I guess.
Yes, that's what people look like for her.
I know. Yeah, I think she, you know, I just from my own observation, seems very observant. And, you know, we've been outdoors, you know, and seen people at a distance outside. So she is very interested in people and faces and, you know, I think curious, oh, that person doesn't have a mask on, you know, fully observing different humans. So, yeah, you know, it is something, you know, I've kind of maybe worried about, you know, is her interactions and seeing facial expressions from different people outside her parents. Is that going to affect her development? But, you know, like with all parents and the worries, I just try not to stress about that too much, you know.
Well,
so,
well, good for you.
She's looking forward to that. Thank you.
That's awesome to hear, Sarah. And it's so awesome to hear you sounding so positive. I mean, when I ask you what you're looking back on, you have a lot of positive things. And I know that that is intentional. And, you know, we have Dr. Shop we've been talking with, and hopefully we'll have time to go back to Dr. Shop. But I know that this is something that she would advise, is just practice the positivity, practice, you know, realizing what you're grateful for and what you've been through and what you've managed to do.
Right.
And so that's awesome to hear. I'm glad that you've had your Zoom connections, and it just sounds like you've had a lot of healthy stuff, because I know that it goes without saying it's also been really hard to be a new mom during this pandemic.
Yeah. Exactly. So just trying to, keep it upbeat and, you know, support, you know, each other as best we can with the situations that we're in.
All right. Well, thank you so much,
you.
Sarah. And good luck to you with a beautiful baby girl and to Chris, of course, as well. And thanks for calling us at the check-in. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And calling us now, we have with us Jill Orr, who is one of my favorite neighbors and also an author. Jill, thanks for calling into the check-in.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's great to talk to you, Janet.
It's great to have you. So, Jill, you I say that you're an author. I just have to put a little plug out there for the Riley Ellison Mysteries. There's a whole series there that you've written that are very fun. But this year, you actually published another book during the pandemic. What was that like? The book that you published was, I love the title, How Not to Be Old, Even If You Are. Tell us a little bit about that and what it's been like publishing a book during this past year.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. I actually had two books come out this year, which was exciting, but terrible timing. You know, I had the last in the Riley Ellison book came out in or series came out in June, and then the How Not to Be Old came out in November. So, obviously just not ideal in terms of, sales and things like that, but really it's a small problem in the grand scheme of things. So I am pathologically optimistic. So I just try to look at this as, just kind of a bump in the road and hopefully things will get better from here.
Okay. And Jill, I know that, tell us what it's been like, family life from your perspective, if you don't mind, because I know you have a son who was graduating with my daughter. You went through the non-graduation experience at this time last year, just about, and then you have a high schooler as well. What do you think, as a pathological optimist, which I love, this is why you write things like How Not to Be Old. You have to just spread some of that optimism with the rest of us. But what are you looking back on and looking forward to?
The last year with having a high school senior, as like you mentioned, you did as well. That was that was heartbreaking. That was sad, and they missed all of their laughs that you usually have in the high school year, and no prom, no real graduation, everything looked different. But I was inspired, because the kids seemed to have handled it better almost than some of the parents did. They adapted, and they just sort of were like, okay, well, this is what it is. And, we're going to just look forward. And I really think that they did a good job and really it kind of inspired me to be more flexible and to, kind of stop thinking about what was taken away and more about, what we still have left to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And now I have a junior in high school, and I'm really excited that they get to go back. I mean, obviously there's some anxiety involved, with sending the kids back to school, but I like to think it's a good thing. Hopefully we can do it safely and we can get kids back, in school, around their peers, around teachers, kind of improve the learning environment. I think all of that is really important.
That's great. And those are great words to almost end us on, Jill Orr. Thanks so much for your writing and your books and for being a good neighbor and for sharing your optimistic outlook with us on the check-in. Please take care.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye, Jill. And let me just remind you, you're listening to The Check-In. We are looking back, and we have this hour been looking back and looking forward. And thanks to those of you who have joined us, shared your perspective. We are going to try to do this once a month, probably the first Thursday of every month. Go to you, callers, listeners, and just have you be the guest and let us know. We've really enjoyed hearing from you today. Let me go back to our first caller and Dr. Laura Schaap, who was also our first guest on the check-in. Dr. Schaap, what would you say to us as we look cautiously, optimistically forward? Any thoughts to leave with us and advice?
Sure. I just want to applaud all your listeners first in how adaptable they've been and how we've all had to figure out how to do things in a new way.
Yes.
That's one of the things we can look back with. Mm-hmm. I think it is, we can do a preliminary victory lap by looking back and thinking, what did we do so well? And what kinds of sacrifices did we make for the health of ourselves and our community? And it's a generous thing to go out to the store wearing a mask. And it's a generous thing to keep your distance. And it took a lot of effort for us. So stopping and acknowledging that is helpful. But then also, remembering that this is not a total victory lap is premature. So
yes,
we want to make sure that we're opening up slowly, putting a toe in the water, following CDC guidance about what happens after we get vaccinated. If you're full 2 weeks out from the last vaccination in your regimen, then
you can be around people who are also similarly vaccinated and 2 weeks out without a mask. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
So we can all look forward to that, but let's be cautious and smart and let's give ourselves credit for the things that we did well this year.
Okay. Dr. Schaub, thanks so much for coming back on with us. We'll stay in touch with you. You please also take care, and we'll look forward to unpacking a lot of these things as we move forward into 2021 and beyond. Thanks so much, Dr. Schaub.
Thank you, and congratulations on a great year on your program. It's been a real service to the community.
Thank you for listening to The Check-In. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to follow The Check-In wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your support, and we want to hear from you. Do you have any thoughts on today's episode? How are you feeling about vaccination rollouts throughout the state? You can leave us a voicemail at 833-560-1329 or tweet us at checkin_KBIA. The Check-In is produced by Alicia Haywood, Trevor Hook, and Janet Saidi, with student producers Becca Newton, Hannah France, Fernando Naro, and me, Isabella Paxton. Special thanks to our news director, Ryan Fommeliner, engineer Mark Johnson, and program director Kyle Felling, directing this week's show. That's all we have for you today. Stay well and stay in touch.